Thank you, Premu. Excuse the background of our satsang today. We'll do something more. I don't know. Next week when we put it up. We actually just decided to have satsang within the last 20 minutes, whether we were or were not. So this thing hanging over my head is my friend. And this is the heater. we're at home again. Let's begin with Om Shri Satche Maha Prabhu Ki Jaya, Paramatma Ki Jaya, Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jaya, Satcha Sangha Ki Jaya. And I have one thing to say. I will get on to the Ishi Upanishad this week. I want to keep that rolling because it's a very short Upanishad and it's very rich and wonderful, and we should not shelf it for any reason. Okay, so let's see what we have here. Two people have their hand up, but I can't find out how to see who that is now. How do I do that, Sri?
Participants.
How do I find, there's Ken. Okay, but how do I find the people with their hand up now?
Is there a list that, right here, Shantimai?
Where?
Part of my hand.
Right? No, it doesn't do that.
And then when they show up, you'll see a hand beside it.
No, there's usually a list of hands. So anyhow, I'm, I, Yeah, it's not it. It's okay. But I want to see how many people are on the list so that I can see what kind of time we have, because I really can only spend an hour.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold that so you know.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
Namaste, Guruji. I'm very well. Delighted to see you and be with you in the Sangha today. Namaste, namaste. Guruji, just like to thank you for the Isha Upanishad transmission from Sunny Cottage. Mantra 2, Karmani, the word Karmani, being involved in the work and dedicated to God. So I was just examining that, and then I thought, what did that mean, being involved with the work? And then I thought it might be to do with dissolving the thought world when you're in the work that you do. So not being in the thought world, but totally immersed in that action. And then just surrendering everything to God, dedicating it to God. So no separation, no division.
Right. And you might as well start out dedicating whatever you're doing throughout your life to God, just every day. And we just went through the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna was very clear about how to clean karma. Mm-hmm. And Karmani, if you remember, I gave you an example. Mm-hmm. Rather than watching the horse race, be the jockey, mm-hmm. right, on the horse. And, you clean up karma with karma. And actually, that's what the Upanishad is saying, is that first mantra is talking to an enlightened soul who already mm-hmm. understands. And I also pressed on that you should already understand this. This you should already get. Mm-hmm. You should already know this. You've heard it 1,000,000 times. So why would you deny it, right? Mm-hmm. Why not go with that stream? Mm-hmm. Then the Upanishad is talking to one who is attached to duality. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one who's attached to duality is also attached to karma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really wonderful. I think it's really wonderful that by looking at the Sanskrit word, we can figure it's not karma, it's karmani. And karmani is a little bit different than karma. Karmani means be involved in the karma rather than complaining about it mm-hmm. or wishing you didn't have to do it or any kind of thing, because any kind of resistance to it. Huh? Be there, dedicate it, and soon things will change inside your chemistry,
mm-hmm.
your brain, your heart, your attitude
mm-hmm.
will completely change. And you have to be very patient for that, because it's not on your time schedule.
Mm.
It's on a cosmic time schedule. It's not going to do what you want. Everything's not going to do what you want. I like that part. Right now, I wish things would do what I want, but it's one of my favorite parts, that things do as they do rather than do as I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Guruji.
Thank you, too.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.
You're welcome. Namaste, namaskar.
Sahara, I can't see anything now. Everything is all mixed up. Hold on, let me see if I can get back to you. Yeah, there you are. Okay. Sahara, how many hands are up? One more? Okay.
Look. Just one more and we'll leave it at that, Shantimai?
No, we have 1 hour if we have an hour. So okay, we'll fill that hour. Sahara, who did this beautiful little Ganesha behind you?
It was a we have a series of stencils. We have some beautiful ones. I'll send you photographs of them. So this is the one that was selected for this room. So it's a you put it up on the wall, balance it, center it, and then you paint through it.
Sure.
Yeah, it's awfully sweet, isn't it?
Yes. That's beautiful. Stencil one on a piece of paper for. Did you hear me?
I'm listening, Shanti. My stencil one on a piece of paper?
Oh. For me.
We will do, Shanti Mai.
Okay, thank you. So what's up, Sahara?
Well, namaste, namaskar from the banks of the Sangam. The Mahakumbh Mela is gathering, and that the energy is very, very strong for people coming together to enact some very major Mahayagnas and some very private baths into the Sangam. It's just so beautiful to be around this shared prayer field. And that moves towards what I'm hoping you would share about prayer, the aspect of prayer that is the receiving of prayer. Many, many years ago, well, not, I don't know if many, many, but many years ago, maybe 18, 20 years ago, during my first years with you, we had some wonderful conversations about prayer. And one of the readings that we were discussing at that moment was around a Ho'oponopono teaching from Hawaii. And there was a study done where they split two groups of files into medical files. One was preyed on, the other was not. And they found that statistically the outcomes were much better for the pile that was preyed upon than the pile that was not. And the interesting thing about it was that all of these files were over 50 years old and everybody had already passed away before the prayer even began. So it was a study on the timelessness of prayer. That it is unbound by time and space. And I had an incident my first time in India where I was very, very, very ill and couldn't get better. And I remembered this prayer, this study that I had read, and I agreed to pray for myself in that moment, that exact moment, whenever I thought of it. And I do that still. I send prayers back to that moment, and I began to get better from that place forward. And I'm sharing these as a way to have a conversation about what it means to be receptive to prayer. Like in that moment, I made an agreement to receive the prayers I would be sending throughout my life. And I still do that whenever I think of it. I did it before satsang because I wanted to speak of this, and I thought of it. And I prayed for myself. Nothing fancy, just a silent, quiet, just sending love, healing back to that exact moment. I was wondering if you could share something about being receptive to prayer, and what that might mean.
Well, it means everything. And my feeling is, Sahar, you don't even have to be receptive to receive. But it's better if you consciously are appointing to yourself receptivity, opening yourself to receptivity to whatever is coming. And while you were speaking, something crossed my mind. That seemed to be very important. Yeah, it here's what it was. It is that You know, yesterday Nanj was talking about thinking something and how it traveled straight to the person or persons or situations that it was intended for. And she was so surprised that those who it was intended for knew immediately. And this is I've said earlier that the lines of communication are thinning. Do you understand?
Yes.
They're thinning. So people are in some way already aware, even if they say they're not aware, they are aware. I've seen it working in the Sunny Cottage where I was thinking it would be so nice to have a this or that, something simple, always some Sunny Cottage is simple and straightforward. And within 5 minutes, somebody had brought me exactly what I had thought. And there's a responsibility behind your prayer too, isn't there? Because I could think, well, I want $1 million, and then people have to start shelling out $1 million to me. That's very irresponsible in the world of prayer, because prayer is for the upliftment of a person, of a situation, of the world, of the whales, of illness, of university grades, you know, whatever it may be, having a child, whatever it may be, we have to take responsibility now. The world is changing for the good. It looks like for the worst, and that's true too. But it has to be seen, so we have to see the worst to pray for the best. And our prayers are very important. It's the language of the heart. And if we abuse it, then we shut down that energy field of the heart. You know, I want this, I want that.
And this is one of the reasons that some of the major prayer forms like mantra were kept so private, not so much secret, but private, in that if there was any impure intention that would be entered into that same field, it would diminish the capacity of the entire shared mantra space.
That's right. And our world, as it has become because of that, because of not being responsible, because of not sending out the best towards each other, just wanting someone to have enough food or to have a good day. When you say, have a good day, that's a prayer.
Yeah.
Huh? May your day be really wonderful. That's literally a prayer.
Yeah. And in a terrible
doesn't
way.
Doesn't have to address God.
And in a terrible
What's
way,
that?
The opposite. And in a terrible way, the opposite of that is a prayer also. Like when you wish something less than wonderful. Like the same
not
mechanism.
Not really. I think prayer always reaches the highest. I don't think that prayer ever reaches the lowest. It's an energy that is so supportive of whatever is going on. That unsupportive energy is learning how unsupportive energy is wasteful. I have the sense that whatever anybody's doing that's really stupid and wasteful, really not well thought out or not well considered, is learning how to be well considered and well thought out, and is learning the downside of being negative and terrible in your thoughts. So my view, Sahara, is prayer is always, look at the cathedrals that are built all around the world, and these basilicas and these temples, that's all to prayer. All of that is given to prayer, for people to come in and pray well. And I agree with you, because I know you're going to say that the thieves pray for a good haul, but that's more or less not a prayer, really. That's more or less a bit of antagonism. So, but prayer is very high, and it comes from the deepest part of the heart, and it's language for resolve in the best way possible. And in that, you also have to, you have to give up any idea of what that is, that result is, because now you're talking to the universe about its goings on, huh? About how it's going to resolve things. So however it resolves things, that's how it resolves things. But our voice and our love for a situation or the world again, or a child, or the wrong things happening in the world to straighten out the spine of this world, they're all very high, high, high prayers. Very high. Very high. And the guy who's going in with his bag of tricks asking Lord Krishna if he could have a good haul tonight while he's stealing from people, it's really not a prayer. It's really arrogance in every way, shape, and form.
Yes. In
prayer is wonderful.
On a slightly different note, Sarush, myself, and Nataraj went to Tripathiji's today for a havan dedicated to your well-being and the well-being of your Sangha. And it was absolutely beautiful. And he sends all of his love.
Well, you know something, Sahara? One more added before we depart from this topic, or between you and I and the Sangha. The one who is praying is fed by the prayer. They know what is really wonderful inside themselves, and they're bringing it forwards for others. A prayer is felt deeply. Is it not?
Very much so. 2 weeks ago, I believe, no, 3 weeks ago, during one of the first of the satsang time prayers, when satsang was not available, so we would gather to pray, was instilled in my heart, instilled in my heart's memory, one of the most beautiful prayer fields I've ever been in, maybe the most, like the presence of the, it was really profound, and I know it's still present, speaking to the timelessness of that prayer, like that buoyant energy battery is present through all space and time and always available to each of us who were there. Yeah. For it was absolutely beautiful.
And it's like liquid gold just pouring upon the situation, pouring upon the person, pouring upon the time, pouring upon the animals, pouring upon the world situation, whatever it is, it's like a very, very refined gold just, and in each particle of that goldness is the prayers rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. It's very, very beautiful.
It really is. It's wonderful to see you.
To wish someone or something. Yeah, it's wonderful to see you too, Sahar. Indeed. Okay, we have another hand I see, but I can't see who it is. Here we go. Okay. Okay, where are we? We're at
Hi, Max.
Oh, Gabriel. Thank you for the cards. I want to thank everyone for the cards, for the messages, and Sri and I are going to write an update about this whole situation in the next day or so. So from me, so you can get my view on things. and thank Antisa for putting together all of those wonderful messages. It's incredibly beautiful.
Yes,
so,
it was.
What is that?
So I want to thank you for sending out the transmission from Sunny Cottage about the second to fourth mantra of the Isha Upanishad. I was very pleasantly surprised when I found it. I keep checking habitually, and I didn't really expect to find anything. So it was wonderful. And I wanted to talk.
You'll get one this week sometime too. It can be at the end of the week. Everything depends on everything.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
Doesn't it? Yes. Which was also in there, in the fourth mantra. I don't have a question, I think, but I wanted to, just tell you about my appreciation, that I really love that you're doing this, and tell you that the Isha Upanishad, when I read it, it's almost impenetrable. I have no idea really deeply what it's saying. I would be not able to understand much of it beyond the surface level of words. And to have your transmission on it was just...
I agree with you.
And your transmission...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh. I say I disagree with you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, to me, when I heard your transmission and it opened up, and it is so complex, every mantra is so incredibly complex. And then it lands on many other levels, going deep and going back also. The first mantra, what stayed with me, what I think I will keep in my heart for this year and forever, is the fourth mantra about this or tat or it. The presence of everything forever. It's just...
Yeah. Well, that's true. If you are listening or reading the Isha Upanishad, you are ready for the Isha Upanishad. Isha, Isho, Ishvar, it has many names. The Isha Upanishad is, well, let's put it this way. I am reiterating what the Isha Upanishad says for the last 30 years. God is everywhere, in everything. There is nothing but. And if you have to form that in your mind, it's okay. One day you'll stop forming it in your mind, what that could possibly mean. And it's already settled in you. It was settled in you before you were born.
And I remember that throughout my life, I had some vague sense of, I never believed in God the way churches teach God, but I very long time in my life, I had a sense that it must be about everything, all that exists, but it was very vague. I was hardly able to put it into a sentence, and now to hear this sentence from you, it was like, yes, of course. The presence of
it is vague. It is vague.
Yes.
It's not obvious.
No.
If it was obvious, people would be aware of it. The whole world would be different. It's very vague. Yesterday I was talking to Sri, I think Sri and maybe Nenj were in the room, about everything is for the body in the world. the house is for the body, the clothes are for the body, the food is for the body, the car is for the body, the bathtub is for the body, curtains are for the body, the garden's for the body, the tree is for the body. Everything here is for the body. Nothing is for the spirit. So that's the vagueness that you're talking about. Everything that you look at and perceive is for the body and perception. Not anything except for maybe some of those wonderful murtis or symbols of the Buddha or Jesus's wonderful image even begin to hint to what the Isha Upanishad is saying. You know this very well. And to know it does not, who knows what know it means? And I'll give you one more, Gabrielle. Please. This one I love. What if God is exactly the way the church forms God? Wouldn't that be fun?
God is everything.
I say, however you form God, however you form God in your heart,
yes,
be it so.
Yes.
Be it so, because that's your magical mystery, heart, and intelligence. And you can lean in on that because that's who you are and all beings are. And all that is, and even beyond what we could possibly even comprehend. That's why you can't comprehend it. Everything's for the body. What's for the spirit here?
But it's so interesting that how somehow it must be karmic, how we are drawn to a specific form God takes in the life. Like when I was a child, I wanted to start reading the Bible because there was a yearning. My grandmother always went to church and I went with her and it was incredibly boring. So I thought maybe I can read the Bible. Didn't do anything for me, of course, as a child.
You should have gone to the church that I went to. Yeah. I went to the Southern Baptist Holy Roller Church, and it was on fire. And then I went to the Russian Orthodox Church, and it was on fire. I tell you, the spirit of those churches were so thick and so powerful, just the music and the people testifying as to why they see Jesus or what Jesus has done for them or what they will do for Jesus with a voice that is so pure and so clear. I was very fortunate.
Yes.
Very
fortunate.
That sounds great. Yeah, I think you would have too. I went to two electric churches.
I'm so glad to see
it. But I was destined to do such things because I'm a little bit wild, spiritually wild.
Thank God.
I do all the time, by the way. Thank you. Okay. Are we done?
I'm done. Thank you so much.
What a beautiful conversation. Thank you for bringing it to Satsang. Thank you. We have our next. There we are. Hello, you with the penguin suit on.
Yeah. Hello, thank you so much. I must say it's my first time in your online satsang. And I'm taking the opportunity to ask you a question. And maybe you have already just answered it when you said whatever way God is forming in your heart, trust that and be with that. But my question is about intellect, wanting to figure it out. And it seems like there are so many different traditions. And among these traditions, people like scholars, very wise people, have been arguing with each other, for example, on the existence or non-existence of Atman and what is Ishvara and... It seems like
that's why. Hold on, I'm going to come in here now. This is one of my terrible rudenesses. is that I cut you off to say what I have to say, because what you have said is very important. Okay? I don't want to pass by what you're saying. I want right there. This is why you go one, put both feet in one boat. Don't put 2 feet in 2 boats.
Yeah.
You see what happens when you put 2 feet in?
Yes.
If you want to study for the sake of understanding what these beautiful religions have to offer, that's one thing. But your heart knows which way to go. And it's not in opposition to anybody else's way. It's just your way. Isn't that true?
Yes, yes. And I always comforted myself by thinking and also thinking that no matter which path you choose, they all lead to the same top of the mountain.
Absolutely, absolutely. Bar Atman or non-Atman or Atman with a capital A or Atman with a small a, Buddha was a Hindu. Jesus was a Jew. They were reformers, you know, they reformed the religion. And I don't care, I'm going to say it this way to you, if you don't mind. I don't care if there is an Atman or not. I'm going to take care of my Atman just in case there is one. I'm going to take care of my soul and I'm going to keep it polished just in case there might be one around the corner that's going to surprise the living daylights out of me at my last breath. So I don't have to affirm or I don't have to believe or disbelieve in anything. I feel love is a stairway to yourself. And I think there's only one step. It's not like a long staircase. I think it's really little. I think you could almost miss that step if you weren't careful. And Buddhists call it compassion. Huh? They call it compassion. It's still love, huh? And it's the love of God, whatever form that takes in your heart.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Seems like all of them definitely through the practice develop or uncover these qualities of love, compassion, and peace. They do, however, speak of different goals. And yesterday, for the first time, when I was listening to teaching on Nyaya, I heard the teacher saying that not all the path lead to the same goal. They all take you to the destination that they say they will take you. So choose what you want to be. And so that kind of, you know, now that's what I'm thinking.
I think what she's saying is true.
Huh?
I think what she's saying is true, because it's rare that Christianity ever says the word enlightenment. But it certainly speaks about Christ consciousness. You understand? So maybe it's in language only. Maybe really, in fact, every religion, depending on where you are, will feed your heart and soul everything it needs to be very clear and very true. And you have to participate.
Yeah, I guess doubt.
Don't get confused. What are you doubting?
Well, I have been practicing Vipassana meditation for years, and I guess that's my main practice, my daily practice. And then I also happen to be a yoga teacher who, you know, I'm studying this text, which Advaita Vedanta, and they speak about different things. And Buddhism is consciousness is momentarily, and then in there is existence of eternal self in Advaita Vedanta, and then there is a personal God in Vaishnavism. So everything is just a little bit different.
Well, all of it's there. Yeah, but it's all there. That's why I say however God forms in your vision, mm-hmm. whether personal or impersonal, I mean, it doesn't matter because all is God. So it can be personal. God can be personal. All is God. So God can be impersonal. God is all there is, meaning I have no idea what I'm talking about. Mm. But because I am talking to you is enough proof to me that what I'm saying has an actuality to it. Because I'm talking to you is enough for me to be firmly planted in God exists. I don't know anything beyond that. And I don't want to know anything beyond that. It gets real confusing. Mm-hmm. I want to hear it from here. Mm-hmm. Huh? From here. Mm-hmm. And if somebody says something wonderful, I'm glad to hear it. If they say something that's not wonderful, but they think it is, God bless them on their journey. Mm-hmm. But my guru was so silent, and he always pointed at you, Shanti Mai. Not only you, but everything. And not only the earth, but the entire universes. This is how he would speak to me. And it was enough, because I loved him so deeply that I could hear him so clearly. And I didn't have to doubt him or believe him. He never asked me to doubt or believe. You're very nice, huh? How did you find out about the satsang?
I was on the plane to India with one of your disciples. And we had a conversation a few weeks ago. I was going to
Kerala. Oh, nice.
Going to Kumbh Mela, and his name is Ananda nice. Dasha or Ananda. Oh. I can't remember now, but yeah, he told me about you.
I know the Ananda.
Yeah, so yeah. I joined.
Yeah, but that's nice. What I would go ahead, you speak.
Thank you so much. I guess you know what. Always when I have these thoughts, I finish with, well, the only job that you can do the only thing that you can do is through the practice, purify your mind and your heart. And then the truth will reveal itself. Just remove all the things that are obstacles and then let that just unfold naturally. Because that's really intellect.
That's the most.
Is not capable of.
That's the most beautiful prayer ever. That's beautiful. And it works for you.
Yeah, I hope so.
Your participation. Oh, you have to participate. Those words are powerful that you just used. Extremely powerful. Now, your participation is when a doubt comes up, you just release it. You don't have to fight with it. You don't have to do anything. You just, I'm not into it right now. I'm not pushing it away. I'm not pulling it forward. Just leave me alone for now. We'll see you down the road again, no doubt. And I'm going to say the same thing to you.
Production of the mind.
My participation. Yeah. Well, you should come around me a bit.
I'm planning to.
If you want to.
Yes, I'm in Barcelona, so it's close. So I would love to see you in person.
We'll see each other. There's only a little confusion in you, and you're bright enough to shine a light on it so that it doesn't affect you anymore. You know everything. I've heard you say it, didn't you?
She said it all, didn't she? So now it just has to kind of fall in the right place.
Thank you so much.
What's your name?
Olga.
Olga, that's a great name. Isn't that a Russian name?
No, I'm from
Russian name? Mm. You're from Russia?
But yeah.
Well, did you hear that I grew up in a Russian Orthodox church?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, I did. And I loved it. Mm. So I loved it. And I still love it. So I don't care how God forms himself, herself, no self, itself. Just, if I'm wrong in my life, I don't even care. Let me live another life just like this. It has been so permeated with the beauty of spirit. Whoever I meet, whatever time I've had. And I have to say the core of that spirit is absolute love, no matter what. I don't call it unconditional or anything else. It's just, I love God's creation and everything in it. And I don't know what love is either. I don't sort it out, but I know that it's there. So I have a little bit of a dry mouth since I've had this thing going on, but please excuse that. Okay, Olga. Looking forward to meeting you the day that I do.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Take care, huh?
Thank you.
Thank you, too. So what have we here now? Anything else, or is it time to stop? We have 10 more minutes. If anybody wants to get on. If not, I'll just say God bless you. Take care. Love you. All those lovely little things to say that actually happen to be true. Yeah, I think we got Pio on, huh? Pio.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, Pio. Thank you for the last letter. For a lot of it, I just have not been able to get to my email. I just have not been able to get to my email or answer these really kind and thoughtful and beautiful statements and prayers for my health. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But please know that I really appreciate it, and I see each and every one. And mm-hmm. I want to answer, but I have not done anything yet.
Oh, you have, because your answer comes through the silence too. So I feel you so present, and
thank
so
you
your answer came. Shantimayo, I am listening to all what it has been said about religion and God. And I know that I have been looking for God during all my life. So I had some paths in some religions. And always I had to go out from the structure because I couldn't stay. It was so big, the feeling of the presence of God, that I couldn't keep on staying in the structure. And yet, when I was 19, I had my first perception of God. I was in a monastery of nuns that lived in cloister. Is it that?
You're going to have to speak up a little bit, because I'm not getting your full...
I was 18, more or less, I was in a monastery of nuns that lived enclosed.
Mm-hmm.
Without seeing anybody and speaking to anybody. And I remember that I got up at 4 in the morning to join them in the prayer. And it was something so strong that I couldn't even explain. And then I left this place, and my second perception of God that doesn't leave me anymore is when I first saw Maria when she was dancing, and I could see this dancing God, which is who is present. Oh, in the silence, in the emptiness, and I found you again. I found him again or her again when I saw you the first time. So for me,
him or she, doesn't matter to me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm saying I'm sorry a lot lately.
Now, my experience of God is so eternal and constant. I'm not able to distinguish what is prayer or what is not prayer, because it seems to be that everything is praying and present. And I want to thank you for supporting me in this path.
No, you eternally thank me, and I eternally thank you. I think there's something about our gratitude for our relationship that links our hearts very deeply.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very special relationship in this world.
Yeah. I love you, my dear.
I love you too, with all my heart. And God's been looking for you for a long time too, so you might just bump into each other in the mirror.
Yeah, I feel so. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I love
you. Thank you, Shantimai.
Thank you, too. Thank you, too. And thank you for the letter about Rose completion and how wonderful that is. I know that Ro loves you with all of her heart. This is really good for her. For her. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have exactly the time, 3 minutes short. And please keep your good modality of sending over prayers or healing modalities or good intentions or candles. We're going to get through this together. I'm very surprised. And one thing for sure, you never know what's going to happen. I'm going to finish this satsang with this very thing. So Antisa is asking me, am I going to India? I said, I have no idea if I will or not. She said, you mentioned that you would go in March, probably, if you go. I said, but I don't know. And I want to go. I would love to go. There's many reasons for me to go to India this time, many reasons. Many reasons that stick out. The Sangha and a new child being born that we've been waiting for, and the last time to see some people that I've known for since 1986, to say literally goodbye to have a last dip in the Ganges. There's many reasons I want to go to India, but I don't know if I will go. So Antisa kept pushing me that she wanted a certain answer and she wanted a certain result for me. And I told her, you know, not to compare myself or my situation to COVID, but I said it was okay when COVID came and everybody had to rush to their homes, but it's not okay when I'm not quite in my element and cannot make the journey. What, you know, what's
So for me, the conversation ended in Sri sending you a note saying, I don't know if I'm going to India. If you want to go to India, you should go, because the Sangha could all have a Sangha bath together, should chant together, go to Anandamayi's Mahasamadhi together, go to the stupa together, do things together, and do things alone. I cannot say anything other than that, because that's the actuality of it. So please don't push on me for your decision whether you want to go to India or not. India would be wonderful to go to, always. And I might be there. There is a chance of that, and I would love that. And I might not be there. Does that make sense? I want to see some heads shaking, yes or no. Because the one who says no, I'm going to come in on you and ask you why. Okay. So that's the answer. I don't have an answer. And if I have an answer, if I get an answer, you're going to be the first to know for sure. Okay? Okay. Namaste. I need to close this up. Namaste. We have some more.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. For you, he's for you, he's for you. Amen, 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 amen. Upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And give you peace. Aye, aye, aye. Yeah, 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 yeah. I give you peace.